it's David. Thanks so much for joining me here in the growth space. I'm really grateful that you've chosen to take some time to share with me here today. Just before we get started, let me just ask you to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And if you would, just take a quick moment to review the podcast. Go on your podcast app, wherever that is. If it's Apple, I think you have to scroll to the bottom of the page. Give us a review and give us a rating. We would really, really appreciate it. It helps us to be able to reach more people. And, you know, the subject of multiple generations in the workforce is such a huge topic, and it's really top of mind for a lot of folks here in the leadership development and growth and transition preparation space. And I'm really grateful that the conversation today with Andrea Carpenter went to a number of those different places related to, you know, generations and thought processes and so forth. And Andrea and I actually met at a community event with the Exchange community. And I'm really grateful that we were paired together in a wisdom circle, which is their version of a mastermind. And I knew right away that I wanted to have Andrea onto the podcast and invite her on because she had such great lived experience. Plus, we just hit it off in terms of her approach to life, and it was just really an amazing encounter. And so today I have Andrea Carpenter on the show. And let me just tell you a little bit about Andrea first, and then we'll get into the conversation. But she is a curator of purposeful experiences because she works at the intersection of design, strategy, facilitation, and connection. And her passion is to help those in moments of transition by bringing humanity and data together. She designs experiences to help people on their journeys from here to there. I love that. I love the allusion to a departure point and an arrival point. So from here to there. Her background as a user experience designer and strategist helps her to bring a design thinking approach to her work. A lot of her work today is with the transition strategists, helping facilitate smooth succession between business owners and successors in private and family-owned businesses. So we have a lot to talk about, a lot in common. She and her husband live in Denver, Colorado with their dog, Wilson. They're expecting their first baby in July, so their lives are going to be really full here really soon. They love skiing, they love hiking, traveling, and renovating their home. And so I'm really excited to share with you Andrea Carpenter and our conversation today. So let's go ahead and get into it now. Well, hey, Andrea, so glad to have you here on In the Growth Space podcast. Welcome.
Yeah, so glad to be here.
I'm really excited to talk with you, you know, about transition planning, succession planning, and really the idea of thinking ahead and anticipating, because I think that as you and I talked before we, you know, hit record, it's an area where a lot of business owners are really challenged. And so we'll get into that in just a moment, but let's just talk a little bit about you and what got you into the space of succession planning and thinking about succession, because I think it's really interesting, especially coming from, you know, someone, you know, in the younger generation.
Yeah, definitely. Like anyone, there's a good winding path, right? That sort of starts with me watching my dad build a company. And yeah. Ultimately, when I decided to go to college and get a degree in graphic design, I think I was his potential candidate to potentially take over the business one day. Yeah. And I joke sometimes, I feel blessed that he made that decision for me, because there is a lot, especially when you're talking about family businesses and like succession within a family, there can be pressure, there can be stress, there can be expectations, there mm-hmm. can be, I have multiple siblings, what does that look like? So my dad took a lot of those complications off the table, making the decision to sell his company when I was in college.
Okay.
I worked a couple jobs in design after I left, but really just felt this need. I really wanted to work with other people who were children of successful entrepreneurs. So we have a lot of privileges. We have a lot of expectations sometimes. Sure. The world says, hey, you should be a certain way. You should do this thing. You shouldn't do this thing. And you're looking to find and create your own identity inside of something that someone before you built that was really successful. And so for me, as I was thinking about what does that look like? What am I excited about? I love this idea of being able to serve and help other people who were also thinking and grappling with this. So I landed on, I want to work with next gens or the rising generation. And ultimately that led me to meet Elizabeth Ledoux, who owns the Transition Strategist, and she works with a lot of family businesses. So specifically, we'll reference a lot of successors. Many times they're family members, sometimes they're not. But as I shared with her, how do we make sure people are showing up and feel fulfilled, especially these successors and other people? And these are the types of programs that I was considering and thinking about running. And she says, I already do a lot of that. What would it look like if we came together and partnered? So that's sort of the origin story of why I'm really passionate about working with successors.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, Andrea. So what are, as you think about just your own story and thinking about like your dad and the things that he wrestled with, you talk about, multiple siblings. What are some of the things that really led him, do you think, to ultimately plan for his succession and in the way that he did, as far as, exiting the business? I mean, what were maybe some of the things that he was thinking about? Because I know that there are a lot of entrepreneurs who go into business, they build a business, and then the ultimate exit or the ultimate succession, that's a hard thing for them. And I guess maybe there's multiple questions in there, but what in terms of your dad, like what were some of the things that maybe he grappled with?
Yeah, definitely multifaceted, right? So yeah. I saw him, obviously you care a lot for your family. So he was in this, I'm going to build something that's going to be valuable. And that's going to be, it's a generational legacy was kind of the mode that my dad was really in. So that's a little bit of the how much am I going to be able to sell it for? Like, what is this business actually worth in the exit? And different paths that you take can really affect that number, right? But for my dad, it was also, as you think about a next adventure, what are the things that I'm going to do after I leave the business? When you're working so hard in your business all the time, my dad worked extremely hard. There was no lack of work ethic there. He never took any outside capital. So everything that he built, he did completely by himself. Mm-hmm. And so it was this, I really care for my employees and the culture I built, the product or the thing that I was building and the way that I thought it would help people. Is there a way to leave this business and still keep that legacy going? Mm-hmm. That was definitely a facet of what he was thinking about. He was also thinking about his kids and his wife and, hey, I've been working so long. What does life look like if I could go on, he calls it indefinite sabbatical. What if I could go on indefinite sabbatical be free to travel? And now there's grandkids and they can come spend time with the grandkids because he's not tied down to a job. So that was definitely the personal factor of family and what life looked like. To be able to do that in your 50s was a really cool opportunity for him.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. You brought up a concept or an idea of your next adventure. Sometimes I'll call it the next act or the next season. And I think that if there's anything that I've seen that holds business owners back, it's not knowing what that next adventure looks like. I know that you and Elizabeth mm-hmm. talk about the questions that, and one of the first questions is the why, and it relates to why would I even plan on that succession, and what is my next adventure going to be looking like? So maybe talk a little bit about that. Like how have you seen, you know, that process play out to be able to help entrepreneurs think into what their next adventure looks like? Because I think that's huge. I think it's something that there's a lot of people that don't think about that.
Yeah. And I will say, this is not just for the business owners. This is for successors too. This is for anyone in life, right? When I first started talking with Elizabeth and she was like, do we want to work together? Let's fill out the objectives matrix. So that's her tool for the why, but really what do I want personally? What does my spouse want? And is what I'm doing supporting what my spouse or my partner wants? Do I have any children to consider? If there's already a business, what about my business partners? What about the employees of my business? What about any extended family? So as you start to bring all these factors together, it's really, you could sit with this for a really long time. Yeah. Elizabeth had me fill one out too. Like, what are my life goals? My husband and I wanted to start a family. Sure. That was really important. That was a non-negotiable. So I wasn't interested in doing work where I wasn't able to do that. And by having this tool and writing down all the things that are important to us, we can have really frank, candid, open conversations with the people we care about, because your transition is not just about you. Like, me deciding to become Elizabeth's business partner is about me and my husband and my kids someday, because that means I'm going to be owning a business. And that's a big deal. So the next adventure or your next act becomes more than just you personally, right? There's other people, and you want to make sure that what you're doing and the paths you're looking at aren't putting any of your deal breakers at risk. Because eventually, in the context of a transition, you could say, do I want to sell to a third party? Am I going to pass it to a successor who's an employee who's been working in the business? Mm-hmm. Or do I have three kids and I'm going to split it evenly between the three kids? Mm-hmm. And the different factors and how at risk any of the things on your whys will be put at risk is definitely something that to consider. So it's a really simple tool to help visualize. But when we start with that why, it helps us take a step back and look at some of our options and paths forward through a lens that's really generative, and really make sure that we're happy and feeling fulfilled with the way that the transition plays out.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I think that having a tool like that to be able to think about that next act or that next adventure is so helpful, because I know that there are a lot of business owners, they're so immersed in their business that it's, you know, it's so hard to pull back and just to kind of take a look at like, whatever is next look like. And, you know, I've heard business owners say, well, you know, I'm just going to die here. They're going to wheel me out. And I think, really, do you really want that? You know, and, you know, from my own experience, I can say that if you don't think about this ahead of time, it can really be devastating for the business and devastating for the ultimate successors. And sometimes the business just has to get sold if things aren't set up, you know, properly. And, you know, in my case, you know, my dad didn't plan on dying that day, and he didn't plan on me having to take over the leadership role of the company, but I had to do it. And there are some things that I really wished I would have been able to talk with him about. And so it sounds like this tool would, you know, give business owners that the ability to do that. And I think that one of the things that I've noticed too, Andrea, I'm kind of curious if you have seen this as well, is there's a certain aspect of the baby boomer generation and the Gen X people, they don't like to think about or talk about those eventualities a whole lot. And maybe it's a broad generalization, but I'm curious, is that something that you've experienced too?
I don't know if it's a joke. It's basically a joke. Like, if you don't plan your transition, like, someday it'll be decided for you.
Yeah, right.
That's the reality of life. So if you want to work in your business, if you want to advise in your business, if your life's work is here and you love working, I think that's fabulous. But if there's a desire or a goal that my employees are going to be taken care of and the business is going to continue, there are steps you need to take. And as Elizabeth and I looked at how often people think about transition planning or, oh, that's kind of far in the future. Maybe I don't need to think about that right now. Most people are underestimating by at least 2 to 5 years how long it can take to execute a successful transition plan. And that's because there's so many factors of it. It's not just like, oh, I'm in a transition and then the transition is over. Like we call it the many wins, right? So there's the when of I first begin to talk to a successor about maybe what that looks like. And then the successor starts to buy in, or the successor takes over as CEO and they're being the main operator. And I'm still helping, I'm still advising. Whatever is right for you and your successor, or in the case of a third party sale, how, like, whatever that process looks like, there are many sort of stops along the way that we tend to see. And we're all humans. There are things that can go wrong. There are things that can be unexpected at any turn. So just being open, knowing what everyone is sort of excited and thinking about helps you have better conversations early, which helps people be more prepared.
Yeah, you know, I think you bring up a really good point, because I think that even as I heard you talking about, like, thinking about transition earlier, there's so much complexity to it. There's a lot of different discussions that have to be had. And I think that that might be one of the reasons why people try to push it off as far as they can, because they don't want to have those conversations, or there is so much complexity that it's going to take some time. And sometimes we can get bogged down in thinking that it, you know, those aspects of the transition are going to take forever. And so I think that the sooner that a business owner starts to think about these things, starts to talk about them, it's just like any strategic objective, right? If you've got a 3-year plan, you got to start somewhere. And I think that just starting the conversation and maybe this tool too, with figuring out why and what your next act look like, is probably a great place to go.
Yeah. And there are, we call them the big six questions. So why do I want to transition? What do I actually have to transition? Maybe there are assets in your business that don't make sense to transition. Yeah. To someone else, you would need to know that. When do I want to transition? Who do I want to transition to? Yeah. And then at the very end, you talk about how much is the business worth and how does the transition actually work? Because until you know what you want out of it, who's going to be your successor, and begin to have those types of conversations, it's not fair to anyone to say, well, the transition is going to happen January 1st, 2027. Yeah, like there's no way that you would know how to control that, or that the successor would actually be ready, or that you would actually be ready. And so, yes, open conversations are a really big, big part of this.
You mentioned just there the six questions. I'd love for you just to maybe talk a little bit more about those six questions, because I think this gives the framework that you and Elizabeth use to be able to help business owners really think through this process. So we've already talked about the why. So talk a little bit more about the, you know, the what and the who and the when.
Yeah, sure. So what do you have to transition? So maybe there are cars in the business, like personal cars or assets like that, that might not be part of the eventual transition. Maybe there are different operating areas of the business that would make sense to break up into smaller subsegments. There can be, and it really depends on the business. It really depends on the way that you're structured, but just to get a good idea of what exactly is there to transition, especially in family transitions. A good example would be an auto mechanic. There's the garage portion itself, and there's a sales portion of the business. Are those two inherently tied together? Is there some way that they're separate? If there were two children who were coming in and one really just wanted to be a mechanic and the other was really interested in running it, what would that actually look like? And are there specific assets that both or either of those might get. So that's a little bit about the what.
That's, I mean, and that's, those are things I think that probably a lot of folks don't think about. And so it's good to have these questions put forward so that the conversations can begin and come around some of these various issues. And every business is different. So the answers and the solutions are going to be different for everybody, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely.
Well, yeah, go
The
ahead.
who
Keep
is
going.
the, yeah, I was gonna say the who is the next one. A lot of times we're working with families. Sometimes in families, there's this expectation that it's gonna go to the kids, which can be simple if there's one, and it can start to become more complicated if there's more than one. I talk to successors frequently. They're one sibling who's working in the business and they're growing the business and they're adding lots of value to the business. And their siblings aren't working in the business. Their siblings decided to become doctors, or a sibling decided to start their own business. So, as the owner, what does it look like to make it fair to all your siblings, because to all your children, because you did work so that all of your kids would equally benefit, but you have some kids maybe working in the business, some kids not. So, is there an advisory board? Is there one who's really in a position who wants to run the company and others who aren't interested in running the company? As you think about those dynamics, what does that look like? And if you're like, yeah, not a family business, my kids are not taking over, sometimes there are key employees that have been around for a long time, that would make sense to transition the business to. Someone who's been in a management role for a while, really knows the company, someone that you've been grooming to potentially take over someday. Those are all potential who's as well. There's also always the option of, do we need to take private equity? Are we gonna eventually just sell to a third party? That's definitely something that's growing a lot as you look at a lot of the businesses, like laundromats, smaller service type businesses, lawn care, sprinkler repair, pool repair. I follow Cody Sanchez a lot, and she's talking about telling people how you can buy businesses like this and as an investment. And so that's an opportunity as an owner, right? If there's really truly no one, but you want to find the right buyer, you want to find the right person to take that over, those are all potential who's. And I think there's a way to take care of your employees, take care of your people, regardless of what route you choose. But again, if you wait until the decision is made for you, it's possible it all just kind of poofs or has to get liquidated because there's a tax bill due or something has to happen in the end, and you're not there. You can't control that anymore. So you can start to lay that foundation before you leave.
I appreciate this particular question because, again, with each of these questions, there's so many different aspects of them, but this is helping that business owner think through the people part of the equation and the people part of this succession or transition planning. And I think that's really important because, as you mentioned, there's so many different, aspects. If you've got kids, if you don't have kids, if, you have a key employee, maybe you want to, plan an ESOP plan. We had a couple of episodes ago, we had an ESOP expert talk about, what that looks like. And so, I think that's really important. So we covered the who, the why, the who, the what. Talk about the when.
The many wins.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
many
So
wins. That's right.
I kind of alluded earlier, like it's not just someday the business is transitioned and you get a paycheck. Like maybe it's happening over time. Maybe you decide to do an owner financing deal. So there's the day that the person starts doing payments and there's the day that payments end, which is maybe way after you've been done working in the business. You're still receiving income from your business because the owner is buying you out. Those would all be wins that you would be thinking about in your transition timeline. There's also the transition to the successor itself. I would even argue a successor definitely has their own successor timeline as they think about their when. Like it's possible you are a family business and your successor is ready to take over like now. Like they're feeling like, Oh man, I would love to do this. I'm in my prime. I have all this energy, all this excitement. I would love to just grow this business and have that opportunity for ownership. Like you probably felt that when you started. Like
Yes.
if you're a business owner and you started a business, you felt that excitement around owning it and being a successor. Sure, you didn't come up with the idea yourself, but you still get that fulfillment from kind of running and being that person. And so as you identify your who, if you're like, it really is a successor, suddenly it's not just your win of when you want to leave. You might be considering the wins of other people, or maybe your spouse is like, hey, I would love to go on this big trip or go do this thing. Maybe they
Sure.
have a win too, which when you think about your business and your transition, you're not many times thinking about what are the wins in my life outside of that as well?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think that something that popped into my head as you were sharing the many wins, I think that there's a preparation phase too. When you think about the successor's when, it really is meaningful to be able to think into how do I know that they're going to be ready? And not only that, but how am I going to prepare them for all of the leadership aspects, all of the running a business mindsets that are going to be necessary for them to run a business. And I think that's a really important consideration. It's one in which I think I'm super passionate about because of my experience of, hey, I wasn't ready, so I want to prepare my emerging leaders. I want to prepare the next generation to be ready. And so I guess, how do you see that aspect of preparation play into kind of these time horizons or the many wins as you talked about?
Yeah. I'll go back to my dad's story, right? So
Sure.
I was in college. It was probably at least 10 years before he was going to even know if I had any interest in actually stepping in to run his business.
Sure,
Because I
sure.
thought I was going to be a magazine designer, right? Like every kid, when they go to college, they have some idea of the thing that they're going to be doing. At the time, it was graphic design and that was the thing that I was going to do. So that didn't align with my dad's ultimate why. Right? Like he waiting 10 years for me to maybe decide so that then 10 years later I could eventually take over the entire thing. That wasn't, and he had a business partner. So you're no longer just considering like what was his personal why, like what was his partner 50%. Like he had equal say in this discussion as well. And so I think that's one factor. We also talked, like it could depend on the age of your kids. Do they need to get an MBA? Do they want to work another job? Are you expecting your kids to work outside of the business before they come work in the business? Do you want them to have a role inside the business in some capacity before you actually consider putting them in? And there's the optics of what that looks like to your employees too. It's not 100% fair to a successor to just someday throw them in that role, and employees could qu like if it's not the proper leadership growth of that person, building rapport with the team, learning how to manage the team, getting to know the employees, to suddenly one day, I don't know what your experience was, but just show up in charge. That is really, really difficult. And so that's part of the wins too, right? Is what does it look like as people start to move up, but also what is the day that I need to leave because now I'm doing a successor a disservice. If I'm still alive and I'm still putting my hands in and I'm still around and people think I'm still the one in charge, but actually they're the one in charge now. And what does that look like? So I think as we think about successors and their preparation and their growth or the type of training or education or any of these things that they might need, it's important to think about all of those factors.
For sure. Yeah, I think that that when the when of me leaving actually after I've prepared my successor, that's got to be, a really pivotal point too, because if I stay too long, I'm really detracting from their authority, their really even their, creating their own vision and taking steps towards their strategic vision. So I think that brings up a really good component of the when. So what are some of the other questions that we haven't covered? I just lost track of them.
Yeah. The last two, a lot of times I lump them together. It's the how and how much, which definitely aren't the same thing. How much is, what am I going to get out of the business? What do I need to get out of the business? How soon do I need it? We talked about maybe there's financing and the money comes later. Maybe there's a one-time transaction. This can have tax implications. This can have estate planning implications as you think about money coming out of a business as well. And so lots of factors around the how much. And then you wrap it all up with the how. So once you know how much you need, what are all these other things, then you can start to talk. And probably my example of financing is a little bit more in the how. Like, sure. Oh, it should be financed. It should be cash. This percentage, this ownership transfer. I moved to an advisory role on the board. I'm going to be chairman of the board and you're just going to have a board seat. All the kids are going to get a board seat on this day. Those can be some of the how questions once you've identified the players who need to come in, what you want to get out of it, what exactly you're transitioning. Then you can say, okay, so if we have this thing to transition and this person's going to be taking it over, what are all the ways that we could accomplish that? And it all ties back to that objectives matrix that we talked about at the beginning. Yeah. You can actually take all of your different options and plot it against your different objectives. How at risk does doing this thing make it? And if you color code it green, yellow, red, a lot of times you're like, oh, I can visually see that this option is helping me achieve a lot of the goals, helping my successor achieve a lot of their goals. You can even stack your and your successor's objective matrices right on top of each other to evaluate the different options for multiple people. And a lot of that happens in the how. There's a lot of nuance. This is a long, you kind of answer the how on your compass, but then there's all the stuff that comes after in the planning, right? You have to actually make your transition timeline. There's actually helping your successor learn to step into the role and giving them the training, giving them the education, helping the successor fill gaps, helping yourself feel more ready to step away. Maybe you know that there's a next adventure for you, but you're not quite sure what that is. So you need to do some personal work to figure out what you're really excited about after. All of that stuff can come after you've answered those big six questions, at least started to lay a foundation for those questions. And we kind of call them part of our transition compass. So what direction am I going?
Sure.
I think of the airplane analogy, right? An airplane starts flying and they put in coordinates. If they get like a little off on the coordinates, you can end up in a way totally different spot. So really we're just looking like, let's get an initial draft of these things down. So at least we're all sort of moving in the same direction. And as stuff comes up, because things will always come up in a transition, it's people, it's complicated. There are so many factors. There's lots of emotions. At least we're all aligned on the way that we're moving.
Yeah, I love that, Andrea. So as I was listening to you share right there, one of the things that popped in my head is this takes some time, right? It takes some time to prepare. So what's the ideal time to begin thinking about this? Because I think that this isn't just something that I, you know, go, oh, hey, I think it's time to transition, you know, 6 months and I'm out. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? So I guess, in your experience and some of the experience that you've shared with Elizabeth, what is the ideal timeline as far as beginning? Like when should a business owner begin thinking about succession and transitioning?
It depends.
Okay. Yeah,
classic designer answer. It depends.
Right. It depends.
But if you're like, maybe I should start thinking about this, it's probably the right time. Mm-hmm. Because what's the worst that happens? You start to set your direction and you're like, cool, we have a couple years of doing more of the same thing before there's any type of urgency around this. Yeah. And for me personally, I'm a preparer. I love to be prepared. I would much rather know things are set, moving in the right direction, because what if I uncover something, or something happens, or I need to have an alternative or a backup, or my successor, I ask them if they're interested and they say no. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I'm like, oh man, that was my plan all along, was my kids were going to be really interested in doing this. And actually none of them are interested in coming in, and suddenly new options have to be on the table. So mm-hmm. I say there's not really a wrong time to start thinking about where you're going.
Sure.
Because you can always pause it, continue doing more of the same once you've validated that you're on the right path.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you use the navigation approach with, you know, the compass. I was a pilot. I was a flight instructor for a little while. And so I always think about there was a time I was actually going to Oshkosh, which is a big fly-in up in Wisconsin. And we had to pause. There were so many thunderstorms in the area. We were flying from Indiana to obviously to Wisconsin, and we were over the Chicagoland area. We had to actually land because the weather was getting just really, really cruddy. And so sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to, you're in, you know, in route, but you have to pause and to kind of think, regroup, and really just reassess. And so I think that it's really appropriate for business transition and succession planning as well. So Andrea, thank you so much for the insights you've shared today, because there's so many different parts to this whole process and equation. I'd love for you just to maybe, you know, kind of wrap up by sharing, you know, what are you and Elizabeth doing to help business owners and business leaders to begin thinking about this and really, you know, planning things out for their own transition planning? What are some things that you guys are doing to help business owners?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we're working on a program called the Big Six Program, which would kind of be the foundational, let's get through those questions and start to talk about what transition looks like. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of different opportunities. If you're like, no, we know we need to transition, it's kind of complicated, there's family dynamics, lots of things, private engagements, we have transition guides on our team. So you might work with Elizabeth, but there are four other amazing guides who were either successors themselves or have worked with family businesses for a long time in private businesses with these transitions. And they're helping work one-on-one through these same sets of questions. We have a podcast called the Business Transition Roadmap Podcast, which dives into some of this. And just this idea, of building communities for business owners and successors to come together to really talk about these things with one another is something I'm really excited about digging into more. So just a sneak peek of what's to come, I guess.
Yes, I love it, Andrea. We will make sure that we link to your podcast in the show notes for sure, because I'd love for people, if you have some interest in there, there's some, you know, great podcast episodes and some great topics that you guys cover. I'm sure that will be in depth more so than just this conversation. But Andrea, thank you so much for sharing. Where can people get in touch with you? Where do they learn more?
Yeah. So feel free to find me on LinkedIn, Andrea Carpenter. And also you can email me, Andrea@transitionstrategist.com. And I'd be happy to connect you with some resources. There's a book, there's blogs. So I'd love to, I think that's my love language, is just connecting people with things that would be helpful for them. So I would love to do that for you. So shoot me a note.
I love that. And I agree. I know you've made some, you know, some connections for me, and you've been able to give me some resources as well. And so I really appreciate that, Andrea. Thank you again for being here and just sharing a little bit of your experience, a little bit of your knowledge as well. This is really an important topic. There are so many different business owners who are, if they're not thinking about it, they will be very, very soon. And so I think just bringing this to the surface is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because you're deep into it, and I really want to be able to help as many business owners as we can with the succession planning. So, Andrea, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.